chapter 4 tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. Probably won't be too long tonight. We're just going to look at the one verse here, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. As I said last week, that this Proverbs 4:23 would probably have our undivided attention. We will add in some other verses to this, but we'll take the evening looking at the heart tonight. I'm going to look at the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, we want to thank you for this day that you blessed us with, this Lord's Day when we can come into your house. Many churches today, Lord, are under persecution, under fire. I think about Pastor Jack Treber's church in California right now. I ask you, Lord, to be with them. But many places are unable. They are meeting, but many places are under fire for meeting tonight. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come in here. And nobody has messed with us thus far. And we thank you and praise you for that. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather here. And we ask you, Lord, once again, to send your spirit down and to move amongst us. I ask you, Lord, to give me the words tonight that you would have me to say as we look at the heart. And the heart is evil and wicked and vile in its contents, and we should never trust it. And we ask you, Lord, to remind us of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep, by definition, means to hold, to retain in one's power or possession, not to lose or part with. And then diligence means steady application in business of any kind, constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken, exertion of body or mind without unnecessary delay or sloth, due attention. It's important for us to remember that we must keep our hearts secured in Christ. We need to keep guard on it. We have to protect our hearts from wickedness. Scripture tells us how we are to keep our hearts. It says we are to keep them with all diligence. We are to be steady about it. If you are to keep your heart, you cannot take a day off. You cannot skip spiritual meals, so to speak. One of the hardest things about peeling back some time ago during the heights of the shutdowns and all that stuff, peeling back on services and things like that, is that spiritually, corporately, we were skipping some meals. And that was hard for me. It was hard for me as a leader to do that. As a spiritual leader, it was very challenging. I tried to put as much food out there online for the church as I could because I know the importance of the heart. I know the importance of keeping the heart. Now, sadly, throughout that time, there were churches that closed. Sadly, there are people that still have not been back to services. Some of them, I mean, we understand they're in a bracket where they're most vulnerable and things. We understand that. But then some, due to a lack of spiritual nourishment, fell to the wayside, and they've not been back in many places. You cannot skip meals on the spiritual things. You cannot step outside of the boundaries that God has set forth and take time off of the spiritual things. To be diligent is to put in some effort, not to be slothful. A man or woman that is lazy with the keeping of their heart, the protecting of their heart, cannot be surprised when their heart lays storage to some wicked and vile intentions that are waiting on the opportunity to present themselves. The heart stores what we don't take care of. One of the biggest ways is when someone has offended you and you refuse to deal with it. You act out what is in your heart. It has been stored there for a while. This is one of the better ways that I can liken it to. You say you're over it, but you're not over it. You've just stored it away, meaning it will poke its ugly head up on another day. Now, I've had this, and I'll tell on myself this evening, just probably about a week ago, I thought of someone from the Marines. They just popped into my mind. Somebody from the Marines, somebody that I had served with. And I mean, and it was going on 10 years ago. And when they crossed my mind, I was not too happy with just the thought of them. I was not very happy about that at all. What this was is my heart was lying in store feelings that would only surface as they were triggered by the remembrance of somebody. Did we take care of it if it's still in our heart? No, we suppress things instead of dealing with them. And when I got out of the Marines, I just wanted to suppress every bit of it. And that's what I did. I got out, I suppressed every bit of it. But I'm constantly reminded all the time of bad situations that I've suppressed and not dealt with, or people that at one time I harbored ill will against them, and it resurfaces how I feel about them. And at those times when that happens, you've got to surrender that to God. You've got to confess that to God, or it will keep coming up. We suppress them at times. We block them from our minds rather than dealing with them. This is how someone can be reminded of something 10, 20, 30 years ago and become upset at the thought of a person. Storing things in the heart. By the way, it takes work. It takes effort. It's not an easy thing to do. Pushing things down is not dealing with them. That takes work to push things down, to suppress things. It takes work. Every time it comes to your mind, no, I'm not thinking about that. I'm not thinking about that person. I'm not going to deal with that. That takes work. Takes work to suppress. And I remember when I was coming back to God, that my list was a mile long of people I did not like. A mile long. Sarah laughs because she knows. She heard about it all the time. She heard about them people all the time. Every time we'd be on the way back from a field day or something with the Marines, we called it forced fun, where everybody gets out there and it's not fun at all. They're doing stuff and it's just not fun. I'd rather be at home. I'd rather be doing something else, but they're forcing you to come to this fun day, they call it, but it's not fun. And then we leave, we're on the way home, and I'm just blah, 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 about half the people I saw there. My list was a mile long of people I did not like, did not want to be around them, did not want to see them. And I had to learn to give that to God. But at times, I'm still reminded sometimes something will resurface of somebody that I had not dealt with. And sometimes, if I'm not careful, what I was thinking about them in that moment, and it was a dark time in my life, if I'm not careful, I gotta surrender that thought about those people to God. There was people out in the Marines, based off what they'd done to me, I had plans for them. But you got to surrender. You got to surrender all those things to God. You got to surrender those feelings to God. It don't matter what they did to you. You got to surrender those feelings to God. Sometimes things come up to be dealt with. We push them down. We push sin at times deeper into our hearts. But it does not take care of the sin that indwells our hearts. And what you're pushing down is piling up in your heart, but it needs dealt with. Our hearts, they're wicked. They're deceitful. They lie in store. What it shouldn't be. Our hearts that have been programmed by our flesh. Keep this. Refuse this. Hang on to this. Hate this person or these people because our flesh has programmed the heart. We are to keep the heart with all diligence. I said some time ago at RU that I loved food. I had to learn to love God more than food, and that's still at times a struggle to love God more than food. I have to love God every time I sit down at the table more than I do what's in front of me. And that can be a struggle. That can be a challenge. But I had to come to terms. And I tell you what, when God lays the full weight of who you are and his place in your life and where he is on that scale on your heart, I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow. It's a tough pill to swallow. He was second place to food. Anything in your life that God is against, or against your lack of moderation in it, you partake in it, God has become second place to it. You love it more than God. Scripture says that to love God is to keep his commandments. So to not love God is to disobey him. So what we struggle with today, which do you love more? God or the flesh, God or this world, God or sin, God or mammon, God or the struggles in your life. And when you decide which one you love more, that is who or what you are giving the control of your heart over to. I've told folks many times, and are you, if drinking's in your heart, that's what you're going to do. If it's in your heart, that's what you're going to do. It's there. You got to have God take it out. And that comes from heart surgery. That comes from sitting in the school of the Holy Spirit, because you got stuff deeply planted, deeply rooted in your heart. And it's been growing there for a while, and it's a stronghold. And it's going to take God, it's going to take the Holy Spirit performing heart surgery on you to get that mess up out of you. And it don't matter what sin it is in your life. It don't matter. It could be immorality, it could be eating in excess, or whatever you struggle you might have. Don't be surprised when it surfaces. If you've opened up your heart's door, if you've allowed sin to camp out within your heart, it has grown, it has taken over, and it's coming out. RU has a principle: every sin has its origin in our hearts. The word origin means the first existence or beginning of anything. So if we all looked inside and took inventory tonight, it doesn't take too long to recall, even if we just look back over this last week. Over this last week, if every one of us is honest, we probably said something. And I'm not talking about profanity. I'm talking about we said something that we shouldn't have. We might have responded to somebody in a way that we shouldn't have. Might have went somewhere we shouldn't have. Might have looked at something that we shouldn't have. Might have listened to something that we shouldn't have. So as these things are coming to your mind, the Spirit within you is bearing witness to these fruits and the wickedness of your heart and my heart. They're wicked. How can we expect anything else to come from our hearts? Because whether we admit it or not, the things you say, the things you do, the things you think, the places you go, the things that you consume that are against God, the things that you consume in excess that are in within God's boundaries, but you consume them in portions you're not supposed to, violent thoughts or responses, anger or temper tantrums, flows from the heart. But it's important, because I don't want us to just leave here tonight with an awareness that our heart is in bad shape and in need of help. But I encourage you to give your heart to Christ. This is daily. I ask the Lord every day to cleanse my heart. I see its contents when it comes out in my life. If you're a Christian and you've realized your heart's dirtier than you thought it was, give God control over those areas. Commit tonight and keep your heart with all diligence, because we cannot be surprised what we do when we leave our heart's gate unattended and wide open to anything and everything, because we are then capable of anything and everything. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Deceitful means tending to mislead, deceive, or ensnare. As deceitful words, deceitful practices, full of deceit, trickish, fraudulent, cheating. One of the worst forms of advice that you can ever get is listen to your heart. And I tell you what, a lot of people, in their best theological statements, that's what they come up with. And I feel sorry for them. That's the extent of their theology. Listen to your heart. Follow your heart. That's the extent of their theology. It's a lie from hell. As I said Friday in the second talk, you know it's a lie from hell if it requires belief in something that will send you to hell. If you follow your heart and you never place faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your heart will send you straight to hell. One of the worst things you could ever do is follow through on that advice. And I see it all the time. I see it everywhere. People saying, follow your heart. Follow your heart. A lot of them are humanistic people, but they say, follow your heart, follow your heart.
we as people have identified people that we would believe to be deceitful.
We don't listen to them. I know people. I know folks, literally just about everything they tell you is just so far-fetched. It just can't even, it's just not even possible. I mean, and I know some folks that are like that. I don't know anybody like that here, but I know some folks that are like that. They would laugh. I mean, it would not be anything for them to tell you that they pulled a semi up a big hill with their bicycle. And they're dead serious and they believe it. I mean, just far-fetched stories. It's like, who would believe this? Nobody would believe it. And then we know folks that not only just out, some of that's mental illness, I think, but some just outright lying, or just outright deceitful people. We don't trust them. There are certain places, dealerships, one of them, my wall goes up when I go to a dealership. Some of them, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them are deceitful. They'll sell you anything and tell you it's something and then come to find out it's not. You've seen the ink. Somebody signed a contract and then after a little while the ink disappeared. That's deceit. And you'll have folks that'll make something look like something and then come to find out it ain't nowhere near even close to what they told you it was, and then you bought it hook, line, and sinker. We mark them. We don't listen to them. We don't go to them for counsel. I know folks, if you had to stay with them, I'd sleep with one eye open. I might not even sleep at all. Can't trust them. We keep both eyes on them when they're around. We say things like, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. You avoid them if all at possible in order to protect yourself. You know if they're talking, it's a lie. You know if they're talking, they're trying to pull your leg somehow or trying to steal your wallet or something. But I tell you this evening that your heart is even more deceitful than they are and even more capable of the worst sin in the room. You think of the most deceitful person around, maybe the slimiest person you can think of. There's a lot of them in politics. There's a lot of them in politics. And they're on both sides. They're on both sides. You can't trust all of them. The most deceitful person you can think of, maybe a politician or a lawyer or something like that, your heart that is within you is more wicked and more deceitful than even them. And yet we have the audacity at times to listen to it. We have the audacity to listen to our heart. We have the audacity to heed what it tells us and let it control us and lead us around making decisions for us. I had somebody tell me here recently, they said when my child misbehaves, I look at their heart when they misbehave. If they lie or something like that, they look at their heart. And I'm thinking, that is their heart. That's their heart on display. They lied. That's in their heart. But that's a lot of what we have today in culture, though, with the heart and follow your heart. Listen, that's the contents of our heart spilling out. But yet we say sometimes, well, I just look at their heart, I look at who they are and the overall picture. No, it's sin and it overflowed from their heart. Sadly, at times we let our hearts control us and lead us around making decisions for us, allowing it to control our thinking, allowing it to solidify our doctrine for us or to refuse our doctrine for us. There's a lot of people that won't believe this Bible because their heart tells them not to. There's a lot of people that will not embrace sound doctrine because their heart tells them not to. Anything, I don't care what it is, that usurps itself over the authority of this Bible is to be cast down. And you know what? It don't take long to get in a spiritual funk and your heart start revealing some doubts. It don't take much. You got to call your heart the liar that it is, and God's word stands. On down to the last part of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "For out of it are the issues of life." Out of it, that being the heart, are the issues of life. The word issue means event or consequence or end or ultimate result. We could easily sum it up perhaps by stating actions. All that you do, all that you say, it comes from there. That's good or bad. And it truly is a scary thing to lose sight of your heart, to let it go. I've often thought of the heart as a valve. Whatever it is open to is what it's going to contain. And if you think about a valve, and you picture the devil's hand on that valve, and you picture God's hand on that valve, and God wants you to be fully open to Him, fully surrender to Him. The devil wants you positioned more towards Him. And whoever wins this battle, whoever you allow to win this battle, is what your heart's going to contain the most of. Whatever it's open to is what it'll contain. If it's open to God, it'll be filled with God. If it's more open to this world, your heart will be more filled with this world. Now, the devil is all the time, and I begin to really recognize this, and it's important that we recognize it because it happens slowly. It happens very slowly. It's a turning of the heart towards the things of the world, a turning of the heart towards worldliness. And at times, I've recognized it in my own life. I say, you know what? I went through a little bit during the main shutdowns where I was just a little bit irritated for a little while, not just a day. Wish it was, but it wasn't just a day. You know what happens, and it slowly, and I begin to recognize it. And you know what? When you recognize the actions in your life that are changing, you know that your heart has been opened to the things of this world and become more closed to the things of God. And then with the heavenly vision that the Lord gives you, you can look down the road and say, if I keep going down this path, if I don't turn my heart back towards God, I won't be in a mess. You can fill in the blank where you're going to be if you don't turn your heart back to God. And it starts just a little bit. And it starts by just leaving it uncontrolled, by not keeping your heart with all diligence, by not giving your heart back to God. God must maintain our hearts. You know, we give our hearts to God after salvation. At salvation, it's faith and trust in Jesus Christ, seeing yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, and He saves you. After that, you give your heart to Jesus Christ to control your life, to be the Lord of your life, to be your master, to be your ruler, when you used to be your own ruler, when you used to be your own guide. You did what you wanted to do, went where you wanted to go, said what you wanted to say. You turn your heart and life over to Jesus Christ. I encourage you this evening, just a short message tonight, but I trust you'll take this and pay more attention to your heart. Your thoughts are your decision maker, but your heart puts your thoughts into action. We plant it up here. If we don't cast it down up there, it's going to find its way into our heart. And once it finds its way down there, then it's a seed. And it's going to start to grow. And if we're not careful, it's going to come out in our life. We've got to recognize it. We have to. I mean, I could take you down the whole path of when I was on the run from God. I could take you from where it started. I remember where it started. I remember the sins and how small they were at the beginning, and then I remember how much bigger and bigger and bigger they got. And then how much the consequences became bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, it started out just saying something out of context. I shouldn't have been saying. Started out with small cuss words, and the Lord would prick my heart about that and say, "You got no business saying that. You shouldn't be talking that way. You know better. I taught you better than that. Your mother taught you better than that." And it grew from there. And I tell you what, the consequences that I ended up in was far more worse than even just a prick to the heart of you shouldn't be doing that. You know, just like the prodigal son, he had found himself in the pigsty. He was with the pigs. He was eating what the pigs ate, living amongst the pigs, living amongst the swine. And I found myself there. And as I've said before, I thank God for the mud, because if it weren't for the mud, I'd have never came back home. If it wasn't for the pigsty, I'd have never came back home. And that's why we can't lessen the consequences for people when they're in them. And I see that. We see folks sometimes, even at RU, that are struggling. And the Lord does not give me liberty at times to intervene. My heart wants to. My flesh wants to intervene and wants to help them. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord has somebody there, and he's got the heat turned up on them. And we can pull them out of the pot too fast. And if you do that, they haven't learned anything. They'll be right back. You could take an addict that comes in on Friday night. You could give them a home. You could give them a car. Set them up with a job. Give them money. But if the heart don't change, you just lighten their consequences, and they'll be right back to it. They won't know how to handle what they got. They got to go through the fire. They got to go through the heat. They got to change their heart. They got to turn their heart over to God. And you know what? It's amazing. Once you do that, the Lord starts replacing things in your life as you can handle them. Saw it in my own life. Many of you have seen it in your life. You didn't have the blessings that you do now. God couldn't trust you with them. We didn't know what to do with them. We'd have wasted it. We'd have spoiled it. But some of us might not could have handled a home. Some of us might not could have handled a car. Couldn't have handled a job. Couldn't have handled the money that we'd have got from it. Couldn't handle the phone having it. Then after turning our hearts back to God, God began to bless us with things. It's all in a changing of the heart. It's all in a turning of the heart and turning the heart towards God. That I trust you'll keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. We've got to be diligent about this. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you once again this evening, I want to thank you for this time we've had in your house. I thank you, Lord, for the reminder about our hearts and how evil they are, how wicked they are, how deceitful they are. We cannot trust it. We ask you, Lord, to cleanse our hearts tonight. May we all turn our hearts back towards you again if we've recognized through different works of the flesh and our lives that our heart maybe has been turned a little bit towards the things of this world, towards our flesh, towards what we want. And it's very easy for it to happen. It's very easy. It's daily. It's daily. This position of our heart is in a constant battle. The devil wants it. Our flesh wants it. God wants it. Help us, Lord, to make the right decisions and surrender our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.